We're going today to finish the series on prayer for now. We may come back to this at another time. And prayer is one of those things we take for granted. We think it's just such a common thing and so much a part of our DNA as a Christian that it's something that we probably don't explore. And perhaps maybe there's not any practical explanation of how it works and what it does. And we're going to look at that today. I don't know about you, have you ever wondered why some people just seem like they're so in tune with God? I mean, you just see somebody and it's, wow, they're really connected to God. You know, they hear from God, God's doing stuff in their life, and then you look at your own life and you say, squat, nothing. You know, you wonder, what's going on? Then you got to thinking, you know, well, maybe God likes them better than me. Have you ever thought that? You know, just being real, right? Sometimes we get those crazy thoughts in our mind. Now, I do know that God is not a respecter of persons, so God doesn't technically play favorites. So I do know, so that kicked that idea out. So there must be something else to it. What I've found out in my life is the people that seem and they operate in a different way is people that have a prayer life. They have some form of disciplined prayer operating in their life. And that's something that, you know, we want to do. Now, sometimes when you know, we kind of make prayer sound real spooky and scary and what it is, and we kind of get misunderstood. We're kind of scared to maybe talk to God, you know, because he's such a big God. We're such a little person. And then we think that God's maybe too busy, you know, holding the world together, that he doesn't care about my little problems that I'm having in my life. But that's not true. God does care. God can handle it. He's big. And basically, God is this relational talking to God. And once we get to understand that, but, you know, if we don't have some sort of a plan, I think that when we sit down to pray, have you ever prayed like a lot of the same things over and over? And it's okay to do that, but I don't know about you, but I enjoy certain foods, but I like to change it up a little bit every now and then. And I think in our prayer life, I think we could spice it up. I think we can maybe learn how to better approach God and to maybe go a little bit deeper. And I gave you an assignment last week. I hope some of you did it, if not everybody. I know that's asking a lot, but we went through the first four points of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to fall back on that a little bit today and go over them, and then we're going to head on and finish the rest of it. The passage we're looking at is Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Verse 6 to 13. 6 to 13. It says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask." Then he said, "Pray then this way, in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the opportunity you've given us to come into your presence as a corporate a body here, Lord, as a church. Lord, we know that you have things that you want to reveal to us, things that maybe we do not know. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the true teacher, and you're the one that's going to reveal things to us, where we're at right now, and be able to take us to the next level. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, a little recap on what we talked about last week. You know, one thing that stuck out is that these Jewish people had been praying their whole life. It's something since they was a little kid, they had been taught to pray and how to do it. But when Jesus came on the scene and they watched him pray, there was something different. He actually looked like he knew God. Now, granted, he was God, amen, that, you know. But he was a man walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't technically, you know, in that phase yet. And we're not going to go into that. I wish I wouldn't went down that road. But anyway, don't want us to think too much on that. But what we need to see is that there was something going on in his prayer life. Evidently, there must have been some sort of connection with God or some sort of results that are happening that these guys said, whoa, I want to know what you're doing. How do you do this? So Jesus then laid out a model. He laid out a model for us to look at on what you and I can do in our own lives. And it was an assumption. He said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, but when you pray. And next point he looked at is the idea, as we wanted to see, is that prayer is relational. And it's not just about asking for things. Because sometimes if we don't have some sort of a concept or idea of our relationship with God, you know, we looked at it from the point, you know, what kind of relationship would it be with your kids if you just, you know, came into the room and they said, give me some money. Okay. How was your day? You know? And see, that's what sometimes we do. God, give me this. God, give me that. And we don't really spend any time worshiping Him or spending time in His presence, which will get us to the next place. And something I don't know if I mentioned last week, but it's online if you want to download the sermons and listen to them. The idea of, I believe when we're better connected with God, we'll know what to ask for. I don't believe we'll be selfish because we have that strong, close relationship with Him that He wants for us to have. But when we're on the outside and we don't really know Him, it's hard to do. And we looked at the idea of what it's like to, would you rather ask a friend for a favor or a stranger for a favor? You know, most of us would rather ask for a friend. And lastly, we looked at the idea of, I guess not lastly, but the idea of pray in the name of Jesus. You know, that's just something that we always know because you and I can't go to God by ourselves. Jesus is the mediator, and through His blood, He washed us and made us clean and removed that sin barrier. So it's only through Him that we have access, and so that's proper protocol. Now, if you're driving off a cliff and you say, God help, I think He's probably going to answer that prayer, you know, if you can't get all the words out. But I mean, primarily, this model prayer we're looking at today is something that we're going to practice in our closet. You know, our closet means our own private place where we like to pray. And you need to find your place that you enjoy to be able to spend time with God. And this is kind of what this model is about. It's not a formula where if you do this plus this equals this. No. The whole thing about this is just to teach us how we can better have a relationship with what's going on in our life. And there's little stopping points that we can stop and we'll pause and we'll reflect a little bit. Also, we need to get a pen and a paper. A pen and a paper. Because when you're praying, you're going to come up with a lot of ideas. Some of them may be from God. Some of them may be from your flesh. You know, usually when people sit down to pray, they think about all the things they could be doing if they weren't praying right now. You know, right? I mean, just being honest. You know, if I was doing this, I'd get that done. But, you know, if you write stuff down, you get them out of your mind, then you don't have to worry about them. That's what I've found. This is just a little nugget. You know, I've shared this before. And also, God may speak to you guys. He's going to talk to you. I'm not saying you're going to have a conversation like Moses did, you know, or that. But I mean, God's going to probably give you some ideas and some thoughts. And when you do it, you need to write them down. I mean, God's given me a lot of great ideas that I don't remember. Because maybe I didn't take the time to write them down. There's so many things that God prophetically speaks into my heart. Just how to say a certain thing. And if I don't write it down immediately and I wait several hours and I go back, oh yeah, I need to write that down, it just isn't the same. Because there was a moment there that I should have captured. And there's moments in our life with God that we need to capture so that we can hold on to those moments to be able to go back to them. And don't be rigid with this model prayer. Flow with the Holy Spirit's leading. There may be times that you do this. You may stay on one point for a while and you may just graze over the next points. But over a process of time, you're going to enhance that relationship with God. Okay, we're going to fall back, and we're just going to recap a few of the points that we looked at last week. You know, the Lord's Prayer starts off with our Father, right? You know, Father. Who do you call Father? I just don't call anybody Father. There's only two people on the planet, or basically I call Father. You know, my dad and my Heavenly Father. But that word is a relationship thing. That means there's kind of a connection. One is my biological father, and one is my Heavenly Father, and how that connection takes place. Now, based on the relationship that you've had with your earthly father, that can affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father, so you need to get some of that worked out. Maybe you just need to forgive and forget and move on. You know, no matter how mean they were or what they did to you, you can't let that be an anchor to your soul to hold you back from progressing in the kingdom of God. You need to just put it behind you and just let God take it and ask Him to heal that area of your life and then start to enhance that relationship with your Heavenly Father. What I see from that word, you know, it just promotes that intimacy and the connection that we have with somebody. And really, that's what this is all about. And when we start our prayer life, especially our devotional, now there's different types of prayer. There's intercession and petitions and all that stuff. And we're not looking at that totally today, although those are integrated in this prayer. But primarily, this here is this your devotional prayer that daily you should have a little bit of time with God. However, that whatever your time is, that's between you and God. You know, but I do believe you can do better than 60 seconds. I'll just throw that advertisement out there, you know. Surely you can do better than 60-second prayer. You know, I know we live in a fast-paced life, but I think we can chisel out a little time somewhere, somehow. Then it says, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, which art in heaven. So when you think about that spot, you know, where's God at? I mean, we think He's up, you know, whatever, but you ever thought about we're earth and what's up for the people down in China or whatever right now, you know? So it's just, you know, I don't really think, you know, I think about stuff too much, don't I? But anyway, the idea of wherever God's at, but we know that God has a better vantage point than we do. God's high and lifted up. He's majestic. So you think about how glorious He is and His holiness and everything, because it says, hallowed be thy name. Holy is His name. Now, some of you may have had some teaching, or you can find these things very easily, about the names of God in the Old Testament. So this would be a good stopping spot if you want to maybe, you know, head down that trail for a little bit. You know, Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Then you start to think about how God is present in your life. Then you go into Jehovah Rapha, or Rophi, God is my healer. You know, Jesus fulfilled all these names. And it's easier just to say Jesus, but as far as when you're wanting to amplify your prayer life, you can kind of go down these roads, and it'll give you some things to think about. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. You know that, you know, He made me righteous, not by what I do, but by who I believe in. So you can think along, and there's, you know, a bunch of names of God, and the one we all love is Jehovah Jireh, right? Praise God, God our provider. We think about all the things that God's doing in our life. And as we do that, you know, then we're going to get into a little deeper place with Him. Then, talks about thy kingdom come. As we mentioned, this is talking about evangelism. You know, reaching the lost. I want God's kingdom to come in different people's lives that I know. Maybe in the lives of some family members or friends. So you pray, God, let your kingdom come. You remember in the book of Acts, God opened Lydia's heart. And it opened up the whole country there in Europe to receive the gospel. So God has the potential of opening people's hearts up to receive. So you kind of pray along those lines of thy kingdom come, and you know, and as God opens our heart. Then it talks about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God has a perfect will for our life. And I kid around with this sometimes when I'm talking to people. But you know, we find out what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a perfect will that you and I can walk in. But a lot of times, we settle for the good or acceptable, don't we? Ah, that's close enough. No, we need to be in the perfect will of God. So I pray God's will be done. I've been doing this over my family for years. Just praying, keep praying, God's will be done in their lives. And then the lives of different people. How many know that our politicians need God's will done in their life? How many believe that, you know, the people are making the choices around the world need God's will done in our life? So we need to pray that God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we do that, then we're going to see that. And right here is where we left off last week. Now we're going to go in to the last parts of the Lord's Prayer. And the first one that we're going to look at today is, give us this day our daily bread. There's a few things that we understand. A lot of us are watching our carbs, right? You don't eat a lot of bread. So we've cut bread out. So bread's a bad thing sometimes in our culture for those who are trying to lose weight. So we want to get that out of our head. We're talking about daily bread from God here. God talked about daily bread. When God took care of the children of Israel, now, just a miracle. When they was in the desert, he sent them manna to eat. And they gathered the manna and they ate this. And that's talking about when Jesus was talking about bread and how he wants us to understand what bread's all about. Now, we know Jesus says man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we know how we need to stay into the Word of God. So sometimes the words are bread. Now, I was raised in the 70s. Anybody remember what bread was? Money. So you pray about your personal finances, the finances of the church. Amen? You know, keep that in prayer. Don't forget the church to pray for. Pray for the church and your pastor and his wife and all the people involved in ministries. But, you know, we pray for that daily bread. We pray for our needs to be met. And the Bible, it says in that scripture, God knows what you need. But, you know, God still wants us to ask. This is a hard one to understand. Remember Jesus come up to the blind man? And Jesus said to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Duh. I want to see. But yet Jesus wanted him to tell him what he wanted. He wants us to tell him what we want. Because if you're like me, sometimes I figure, God knows what I need. So I'm not specific enough in my life. If there's one of the many failures or weaknesses I have in my life, is sometimes I'm not as specific as I need to be. I know when I'm praying to God, I'm too general probably in my prayers, and I need to rifle that in. Instead of the shotgun method, I need to get out the high power and zero in on what I'm praying for. And so that's important that we understand that. The idea of daily bread. Now, most of us would like to say, God, give me everything I need for the next year. I'll check back with you. Right? Now, God wants us to go daily to him. It's a daily communal relationship with our God. And as we looked at, you know, a lot of people pray when they go to work. Some people pray at work. You know, have to pray at work because they, you know, it's a tough place to work. But, you know, I'm talking about getting a few minutes in a place where you're not thinking about driving and you're not doing anything else but thinking about your God. Just spending time with him and starting to enhance that and letting him know. And as we do that, by asking him, it shows our dependency on him. Because most of us are pretty talented. I know a lot of you, and I know that you're gifted with many talents in your life. You can do things. And so we can be fairly self-sufficient, you know, if we really tried. Because face it, people, there's a lot of people out there not saved, and they're surviving, right, in their own way. They're missing out on eternal life and all that stuff. But if you look at it, you know, we are self-sufficient. So by this daily asking and communion with God, we're showing God, God, I'm dependent on you. So that brings us into another depth of relationship. When you actually show somebody that you're dependent on them, then they become your protector and your provider. I don't know about you, but having God in those two roles is awesome. And we need to get to that level in our relationship with God. But sometimes we don't go there. Also, as you're asking for your personal needs and you're asking for the friends and family, also be thankful. Just thanking him for it. God, thank you for this answered prayer. I thank you for all you're doing in my life. You know, even if God never gave us anything else, the fact that he gave us salvation, The fact that he gave his son to go and hang on that cross. You know, if you're kind of losing your senses in the sense of what that's all about, go rent The Passion of the Christ again. Watch that movie. Rekindle that, especially this time of year as we're approaching Resurrection Sunday or Easter. Maybe go get that movie as a family and, you know, it's age appropriate, you know, some of the stuff. But watch that again and show the amount of, and see the amount of love that God showed to you when he went to that cross. You know, that something about him doing that for me, I just sold out. When that was revealed to me, I just gave it. I mean, what else is there? I went and looked everywhere in the world for something to make me happy. Tried everything there was that known to man that would give me a pick-me-up. But it never lasted. But when I met Jesus Christ and the power of the love of what he did for me, man, I just gave it all. That's all. I surrender. I am dependent on him. I give him my life. And I'm so thankful for that. Next point says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some of us like to say, forgive us our trespasses. I mean, that's the one I roll with when I'm doing funerals and stuff. It seems more common. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The New American Standard here uses the word debtors. Now, this is going to get into a little more touchy subject. As I alluded earlier about sometimes our relationship with our earthly father is damaged or strained. So that can affect our relationship with our heavenly father. And I'll be honest, as you go through phases in your life, we've all had battles, right? You've lost a loved one maybe you didn't want to lose. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe something bad's happened to you or something bad's happened to your kids. And so then you get this little resentment growing inside of you. And maybe you feel that God didn't come through. We've all felt that. I know I have. Well, this is a time that we let go of those things. Because unforgiveness gives you power over the enemy. Because if we don't, if we hold that resentment and that unforgiveness and, you know, that strained relationship, and we all know what it feels like. We're all real, right? Have you ever been mad at somebody? What's the last thing you want to do when you're mad at them? Go and be with them, right? Huh? Let's spend some time together. You want to go shopping? No. You avoid them. You stay away from them because you don't want to deal with it. Well, this is a time that we go to God and we deal with it. And there's a blessing on the other side, even though there's some pain sometimes with a splinter. You know, every now and then you get a little splinter in your finger and you can't tell it's there until you're walking along and all of a sudden you just bump up against something. Ow! What's that? Now I got to get out the magnifying glasses. You know, as you get older, you got to get help. But then, wow, there's a splinter there. I didn't know that. So then you get the tweezers out or maybe a pin. You got to dig that thing out a little bit and it hurts. But once you get rid of it, after it heals a little bit, you can hit anything, no pain. Why? Because you dealt with the problem. And see, that's what this part's about, is the idea of being able to forgive and walk in that forgiveness, because unless we forgive, it's hard to be forgiven. Now, there's a story, we're not going to look at it today. We forgive, you know, we're forgiven as we forgive. There's a story in Matthew 18, and it's found in verses 23 to 25, and it talks about a guy who owed the king muco bucks. I don't even know how he got in this kind of debt. Anyway, he owed the man 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is 15 years' wages. There's no way he could ever pay that back. And what the Lord was doing in this parable, he was showing us the insurmountable debt that we owe God due to the separation between us and God because of the sin of Adam. How we're separated from God. And there's no way that we can pay that back. So what God did, he paid it for us. And that's what this man, or the king in this story did. He said, okay, I'll forgive the debt. You're free. Woohoo! Excited. Well, that same man went to somebody else that he knows that owed him 50 denarii. Now, 50 denarii, a denarii is worth one day's wages. So the guy had a little bit of debt, but he owed him 50 days' wages. And he wouldn't forgive him. He says, you know, he had him arrested or whatever. I want my money. I'm not going to let it go. I want it. I want it. I want it. But all the while, he forgot this other person had just forgiven him. And so that puts it in perspective what God wants us to do. When somebody transgresses against us, somebody messes with our kid, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody does something wrong, God says, forgive them. As Jesus hung on the cross, he says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We all make mistakes. But unforgiveness is a luxury that none of us can afford. And as you're going through this process right here, as you stop at this stopping spot, it gives you a time to pause and think, Lord, you know, as the scripture says in Psalms, search my heart. Reveal to me if there's any wrong thing. And then maybe God will bring, you don't have to go out there and get a shovel and start digging and looking for problems in your life. There's people that do that. They always think, I got to dig this up or I got to dig that up. No, as the Holy Spirit brings it to you, let it go. Just let God have it. And as we get to that phase, we know that, you know, then we're going to start to walk in that deeper level of freedom on where he wants us to be. And it's all about that perspective. You and I walk in a world, as Peter talked about, you know, Jesus was washing their feet. You know, Peter says, whoa. And Jesus said, it's because you walk in this world and you get, you know, stained or dirty. And Peter said, wash my whole body. He said, no, just your feet's good enough. You know, he's already washed us on the inside. But as we go through life, we do enter those problems. And you look down, and if you could look spiritually, you know, we got all these stains. These stains that start to accumulate in our life. Because these stains are stains that come in and they affect our soul. And what that does, it's going to hinder our relationship with God. Because, you know, be honest, when we get a lot of sin going on in our life, then we turn out like Adam. What did Adam do? He went and tried to hide from God. Now, give me a break. God knows all, sees all, can do all. And he thought he was going to hide from God. But he tried. But we do the same thing. We may not try to hide from God, but we just stop going to God. So we ought to understand that everybody has problems. Don't let the devil make you think you're unique in the sense that you're some bad person. Everybody goes through stuff, you know, and we need that daily. I know for myself as a pastor, you know, I may irritate some people. I may be irritating a few people right now. I don't mean to, but I do. I just have one of those personalities, I guess. But when I wake up in the morning, I don't say, wow, I wonder if I could make somebody mad today to leave the church. You know, I don't really think that way. But what I do, I know that, you know, things can happen. There can be misunderstandings. And it's best just to go say, I'm sorry, and deal with it, and let go and let God, and move on. So this is a good one to stop at and maybe deal with some stuff. Because if we don't walk in that forgiveness, it opens the door for the devil. As a matter of fact, we're not going to go there, but it talks about in Corinthians, I think 2 Corinthians, the idea that if we have unforgiveness, it gives Satan an advantage. I don't know about you, but you know, you don't want to give the devil an advantage in your life. That just makes it harder for us. Okay, next one. Lead us not into temptation. Okay, Satan's out there. He's trying to get after us. So as you pray this, just pray, you know, in the area that, Lord, help me not to be tempted by Satan's attacks. Now, you and I all have weaknesses. I went to a conference, and I can't remember the number exactly, but it says that every person has at least two blind spots, if not more. Stuff you can't see. Now, if you're driving down the interstate, has anybody ever done that? And you're driving along, you may don't see a car that's coming up behind you going to pass. Let's say you're in the right lane accidentally instead of the left. Maybe most of you stay in the left. I don't know how fast you drive. But you look back, and they're not there, and all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere comes a car. You never seen them, but they were always there. And that car's big. Well, we all have blind spots in our life, and some of them are bigger than others that we can't see. The problems that we have going on in our life. Now, thank God for our spouse that'll tell us all our problems. Amen. Glory to God. You know, hey, you know, you got this going on wrong, don't you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. But, you know, it's a time that we ask God to help us, you know, through some of our blind spots and help us our weak areas. You know, what's your kryptonite? You know, what's kryptonite in your life? What is it that when you can be strong, but when you get around it, you just become weak? And find out what that is and ask God, you know, to help you to overcome that. Then it says, deliver us from evil. You know, Satan is crafty. He knows how to lay traps out there for us. Little things to get us to enter into, and he'll do it through different people in our life, people that we're, you know, working with or running with. So you got to choose your friends wisely. You maybe can't choose who you work with, but you can choose your friends. Satan hates you. Get over it, right? He hates Jesus. Saying he hates Jesus in you. So we have to understand that due to the relationship we have, we're never going to be buddies with the devil, and that's fine. So we got to, and during this time, let's say, Lord, teach me to fight the good fight. Spiritual warfare. What is it? You know, if there's a God, people, there is a devil. If God is trying to work in people's life, there's a devil trying to work in people's life. And it's an area that we sometimes don't think about as much of how much, you know, the enemy tries to come in and tries to influence our families and our relationships. All right, next, towards the end now, it talks about, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, what this does is this brings us back to worship. Remember, when we started off this prayer, we didn't start just by, God, give me this, God, give me that. I need this, I need that. No, we came in a respectful manner through Jesus, and we worshiped him for our being our heavenly Father, and you know, he's above everything, and now we close with that. And just thanking him for all that he is and all that he does. Because thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. He is the creator of everything. Think about it. God created everything. I don't know about you, but I like to be connected with powerful people. And God is the most powerful person you could ever be connected with. Now, it's humbling sometimes to think that we need to yield ourselves, but it's the best place that we can be. And as we thank him for his goodness, his splendor and his majesty. And there's different ways you can do that too. I mean, we have technology now that wasn't around when I was a kid, you know, to say the least. You know, as I mentioned, you got YouTube, different things. You can pick out a worship song, just sing a song with it. And, you know, that's awesome. Now, all this is about getting you closer to God. And that's the key. A personal devotional time. You know, and you need to have a plan. You need to have a Bible reading plan. You need to have some sort of way that you're systematically going through the Bible, as well as a plan that you're systematically, you know, spending time with God and whatever that means to you on how you can enhance that. Then lastly, the thing that we overlook, the word amen. A lot of people think that's you're yours truly, you know, and in the end of a letter. Amen, what that means is, let it be so. Let it be so. So when you're praying, and whenever we pray together, we say amen, we're saying, I am in hearty agreement totally with that prayer. So I say, let it be so. And that's how we end it. Now, a couple points on the spiritual benefits of this. We went over this a little bit. But we'll have greater intimacy with our Heavenly Father, which should be your goal. If you're a Christian, you should get to know God better. Secondly, you're going to start to notice things are going to start happening in your life. Spiritually, you're going to start to see things start to manifest. You're going to start to see your prayers answered. You're going to see other people's lives maybe changed. You know, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. Well, how do you get rid of those things? You got to pray. You're going to maybe start to see people saved and people that you never thought would have ever been saved. I know that's what some people thought about me. They thought when I met him and I worked with him, man, there's no hope for that guy. They tried to reach out to me, but I knew what they was doing, so I was too crafty. I stayed away from them. You know, they'd invite me to go do things. I remember one guy invited me to go boating, and I didn't want to go. water skiing, although, that would have been great. Back then that was big time. Oh, I get to go water skiing. But I didn't go because I knew they were up to something. I found out later he was a Christian. They were wanting to witness to me, And when he met me in Denver, and like you said, he said, man, I never thought you'd ever get saved. I mean, I didn't know that I was that bad. I thought I was okay. But I was lost. I was so lost, I didn't know I was lost. Typical man problem, right? Right? Women will agree with that. So you're going to start to see things happening. Lives are going to be changed. Now, you're going to start operating out of a place of peace instead of frustration. Maybe you're an angry person. Maybe you have a tough disposition sometimes. Well, God can come in. If you start to pray, I guarantee it's going to change your disposition. It's going to turn your life around. It's going to change you. And one of the best things that I see about it, now, different people struggle with different things. And there's a lot of people that go from drama, 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 drama. Praise God. Drama, 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 drama. Praise God. Something like that. But if you get your prayer life fixed, I guarantee this. Oh, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked anyway. But this time you're going to start winning. Okay? You'll go from praise God, praise God, praise God to maybe a little drama. Praise God, praise God, praise God to a little drama. What's going to change is the fact of how you look at things. You're going to start to look at things the way God looks at things. You're going to be more forgiving. You're going to be more loving. You're going to be a stronger person because you know that you have the authority through Jesus Christ. And it's going to change the total approach to life. And it's going to get you to a place that you probably have, most of us has never been. And it's a growing process as we try to find our way with God. Now, I know that a lot of people enjoy, hearing sermons about how to get $1 million or things like that. But I guarantee you, prayer, if there's anything like I've mentioned in my life, and I've been working on this over 30 years, my relationship with God, and it goes with the ebb and flow. Sometimes, you're hot. Sometimes you run a little colder, But nevertheless, you need to get to the place where you have some sort of a prayer life. It's going to help your family. And one thing that I wanted to close here with, and that's what maybe doing this little book as a person, and maybe you still have kids in your family, but as you do this yourself, you can maybe take a little time. And one of the greatest things you can get to is having a family devotional time. Maybe once a week. The kids ain't going to want to do it unless they're little. But you just set them down. You don't have to kill them with an hour, Maybe a 5-minute devotional time. Read a little scripture, pray, give everybody a chance to pray if they want. Maybe talk about the scripture if you want. But do that as a family, and your family's going to be stronger. The greatest attack that we have in America today is the attack on the family. With people, with kids and walking in rebellion, and then you got, husbands and wives on different pages. So you got to find common ground. And common ground changes through your marriage. It does. Things you do when you're in your 20s, you may not be doing when you're in your 30s or 40s. So maybe if you lost that connection, but I'll tell you, there's a connection that'll never change. And that is your connection with Jesus Christ. If you keep Jesus Christ the center of your marriage will not fail. Your marriage will succeed. And that's the most important thing you can do. All righty, let's pray. Amen.